When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Addison is on.
Do you love old-time radio?
Yes!
You know absolutely nothing about old-time radio.
Also yes.
Then Madison on the Air is for you. Follow Madison, a modern-day makeup influencer, as she zapped back into the golden age of radio. Every episode is standalone with a wide variety of genres to choose from, like detective noir.
You put the dick in private dick.
Superheroes.
So I am in the body of the Green Hornet.
Westerns.
Saloon fight. Now this is a western.
Sci-fi.
Dude, the Martian's got a freaking heat ray.
Plus classic characters.
Toto. Oh, I gotta get that dog into an obedience class.
Really dig in Dracula's OG goth style.
What if I killed freaking Sherlock Holmes?
And many more. Actual old-time radio scripts adapted.
It's like if the MST3K Riff Tracks guys were in the movies they riff.
Start at the beginning or jump around to any title that grabs you. New episodes premiere the first of every month.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you for tuning in.
If you enjoyed that trailer, it's from our friends over at Madison on the Air. A great concept and a welcome addition to the world of OTR. If you want to hear more, check out the show link in the description. And for us, we have back-to-back episodes of the premiere of Rum Runners. That title's hard to say. Ask me how many times I've said it and had to delete it because I wasn't happy with the way it sounded. Now this series takes place in Canada during their prohibition. This is a volume 1, so please let me know what you think of it. Whether that's on the Spotify comments, my social media, or email. All the links you can find in the descriptions, by the way. And on that topic, if you enjoy this podcast in any way, please follow it, review it, and rate it. It's free to do, it helps out the podcast, and once you do it once, you're done. You don't have to do it for every episode. And now with all that said,
please enjoy the show.
We present The Rum Runners, a comedy series written by author Norman Creighton about the rum goings-on in Canada's maritime provinces during the bad or good old days of Prohibition, depending on how you look at it. The hero or arch-villain of the series, again, depending on your viewpoint, is Inspector John McMulloch of the Revenue Department, whose vital task is to stamp out drinking and the smugglers who made a business and profit out of encouraging a wee dram at literally any cost. Now, here is the case of Jenny's Well with Inspector John McMulloch and his bungling assistant, George.
George, put that away.
Hey, I'm getting on to this thing.
I don't want you playing that thing while we're out here on duty.
Hey, Chief, did you ever hear this one? What'll we do on Saturday night when the town goes dry?
What we're going to do is see that it stays dry. Now, kindly remember that you're a preventive officer in the service of His Majesty King George V.
Hey, now listen to this one, Chief. Smart little feller who stocked up a cellar that's getting a beautiful girl.
George, will you please?
Chief, just a weeny bit more to limber up my fingers. Oh, boy. Hey, wait till I start doing some serenading next Saturday night. You cannot make your shimmy shake on tea.
Give me that thing. Come on, now give it to me.
No.
Give it to me.
Just a minute.
No more of this nonsense, huh? We're here in St. John, New Brunswick, to do a job. The job of enforcing the laws prohibiting the use of alcoholic beverages. And if you keep singing these highly inappropriate songs...
I was just trying to pass the time.
Oh, George, I don't think you quite realize the seriousness of the work we're doing. It's our job to prevent people from drinking. Now, is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I wonder.
Chief, you know, it gets awful tiresome here just waiting around. I'd like to nab someone. Hey, why can't we make a raid, eh? Now, there's a lot of blind pigs down along the waterfront on City Road and Hilliard Street. Now, why can't we make a raid?
Now, don't be impatient. Your time will come.
Oh, I'd like to break up some bottles of champagne and smash the ends in on some kegs of rum and...
All right. We will. Just contain yourself.
Oh, boy, I can hardly wait.
Here's the Ming box. Yes, let's see now. The bamboos. Where's the south wind? Oh, yes.
Ma, can I play?
No, dear. Don't call me Ma.
Ma, can I shake the little ball?
Barbara, put that down. And don't call me Ma. I've told you, you're never ever to play with the Mahjong set. Now, where's the red dragon?
Are you planning to have another Mahjong party?
Yes, dear. I've invited the Arnolds to come over for a game.
Johnny Arnold? His mother lets him play with the Mahjong set.
Maybe so, but I don't want you playing with this. Now go outside and play.
Can't I just watch you play?
Oh, for a minute. Make sure all the seasons are here.
What's to be the topic of conversation tonight? Her ancestors or yours?
I don't talk about my family.
Not if Edith has a chance to talk about hers.
I know.
I think I'll go out for a walk.
You're coming right back?
In a little while.
I want you to be here when they arrive. How far are you going?
Oh, up around Fort Howe.
Fort Howe?
Yes.
Arthur, that's where you must be getting all the mud you've been tracking into the house lately. I wondered where it was coming from.
Mm.
Do you have to take your walk up around Fort Howe? Couldn't you just take a nice walk over to King Square?
Well, I prefer the view at Fort Howe, dear.
Oh.
It's very pleasant up there. Away from it all.
How do you mean? Away from what?
Oh, you're out of the hurly-burly. High above the city.
Oh.
Looking out over the harbor. With a Digby boat coming in. And then, I always enjoy stopping by at Jenny's Well.
You mean the old public well? Is it still there?
Oh, yes.
I wouldn't think the water in that old well could be fit to drink.
Oh, my, yes. The water at Jenny's Well is the most sparkling, the most uplifting in St. John. One of the finest things your ancestors ever did, dear, was to dig that old public well.
My ancestors never dug any well.
Well, somebody did, dear. And they say it goes back to the time of the original settlers, when the Loyalists first got here. When was it? 1783?
Oh, I suppose it is an old Loyalist well. Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought of that.
I give your ancestors all honor, dear.
Oh.
When it comes to Jenny's Well, They build it better than they knew.
Oh, Arthur, I'm rather touched. I've never heard you speak of the loyalists with such feeling. Barbara, do stop that.
Johnny Arnold plays with his mother's Ma's young set.
Oh, we do things differently in our house. This set cost $25.
It's more fun over at the Arnoldson's.
Now, where's my rubbers? I won't go tracking any more mud into the house.
Oh, Arthur, before you go.
Yes, dear?
There's something I'd like to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you known Jeff Arnold?
Jeff Arnold? Oh, we went to school together.
But do you know anything about his family?
No more than anyone else. They seem very decent people. Why?
Oh, I just wondered.
Oh, now, Mildred, let's not drag his family into it tonight. Edith's family's enough. Now, let's leave it there.
Before they get here, there's something I think I should mention. It's been hinted that Edith would like to see her name proposed the next meeting of the Ladies' Morning Musical Club as our next president.
That's the job you've been fishing for, isn't it?
What did you say? I never...
I just mean to say that you have referred to the matter once or twice, so I sort of gathered you wouldn't object to being president.
But I'm not saying... I'd like to, but I must admit it'd be a little more appropriate for somebody whose family goes back to the beginnings of things. Mm. After all, family does count, dear. You know that.
Yeah.
Besides...
Could I have a bamboo?
Keep your little paws off that set. And besides, Arthur, I don't think it'd be quite right to have someone with her name at the head of the Ladies' Morning Musical Club.
What's the matter with her name?
Arnold.
What's wrong with Arnold?
Dear, you really aren't very interested in St. John, are you? The heroic quality of so much of its early history. You don't understand the long, heartbreaking voyage all the way up from New York, up the Bay of Fundy to St. John, their little eggshell vessels tossed about on an angry sea.
Yes,
the struggle to carve a civilization out of the wilderness.
Yes.
It means very little to you. Oh, I am amazed. Sometimes, Arthur, I think that you have no sense of roots.
Oh, all right. All right. I have no sense of roots. Now, what's all this got to do with Edith being married to Jeff Arnold?
Well, dear, if you knew anything about the history of St. John, you would know that Benedict Arnold was among its first settlers.
All right. He was a loyalist.
He was not a loyalist.
He came over to our side.
Benedict Arnold was originally with the revolutionists. Then he turned traitor. I don't like turncoats, and I never did like Benedict Arnold. And I quite sympathize with the people here in St. John. They made an effigy of him and burned it right on his doorstep. I think he deserves it.
Can I have the red dragon?
Stop touching those pieces. Put it back.
Please.
Look, Barbara, would you go outside and play? Please. Look, just go outside and see if you can find Johnny. We're busy here. Oh, no.
Well, I don't know. It's all beyond me.
Arthur.
Suppose her name is Arnold.
These things do mean something. You're far too casual about them.
Oh.
I'm trying to bring Barbara up to respect the traditions we have here in St. John, and I wish you'd cooperate.
I never saw anything wrong with Jeff Arnold.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with him. I just say it's unfortunate that his name happens to be Arnold.
And you think this disqualifies Edith from serving as president of the Ladies' Morning Musical Club?
Well, I think my qualifications are perhaps a little bit more... Arthur, I wonder if you would do something for me after they get here.
What?
Well, when you lay out the things on the card table...
Yes?
You know that big sheet of paper with the rules, how to play Mahjong?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I was thinking, it doesn't look unlike that big sheet of paper I have my family tree written out on.
And you were thinking...
Oh, well, Arthur, I know it's a bit of a subterfuge, but it'd be a perfectly natural mistake.
You'd like me to lay out your family tree instead of the game's rules.
Here it is. Here's the family tree. Mm. Now, look, when we start to play, you see, you could just unpack the set and then lay out the family tree on the table, sort of like this, and then say...
Oh, this isn't part of the set. This is the family tree. Sometimes Edith gets a little under my skin, the way she goes on about her family and that old table of hers and the old mahogany sideboard. I'd just like her to know that my people were among the first to arrive in St. John. Mm-hmm. Is there anything wrong in that?
No, dear, no. Nothing at all. But does it really matter?
But it matters a great deal. I know you're always running down the Loyalists.
No, I'm not running down the Loyalists.
You can make light of it as much as you like, Arthur, but the fact is, they're the people who built this city, and I'm proud to think that my family remained loyal to King George and had gumption enough to tell George Washington and Jefferson and all these other radicals down there just what they thought of them and say, pooh, on their old revolution and come up here to New Brunswick. And I'm not going to take second place or backwater when it comes to old sideboards.
Very well, dear, very well. Here, what is it now? I get the family tree out and I put it on the bridge table with the mahjong set.
And then, just like this now, you see. Suppose we're getting ready to play.
Okay.
And you take pieces out of the box and you can just sort of say, oh, my, this is the family tree, isn't it? I thought it was the list of rules.
I could say I thought it looked like the bamboo tree. Eh? Sort of working with the game.
Oh, it's not necessary to make a joke of it.
Very well, dear. I'm going out for a walk.
Well, answer that phone, will you, dear?
Yes. Hello, Edith. You coming over for mahjong? What? Barbara told Johnny he was... Oh, Edith, now, just a minute. Just a minute, please.
What is it, Arthur? Yep.
Barbara ran over and told Johnny everything you said.
What?
She got a new nickname for him. Tubby Turncoat.
Oh, no.
She says, according to her mummy, he's a descendant of Benedict Arnold.
No.
You better get on the phone and do some real smart explaining.
Oh, Arthur, you talk to her.
No.
You explain to her.
I didn't say anything. Here, you take it.
No, I can't talk to her. I just can't talk to her.
You started this revolution, Lurgan. Now you go ahead and finish it. Jeff, listen, I'm very sorry about all this. Mildred sent me over to apologize.
Apologize?
We want you to know. We want you and Edith to know that...
She might hear you.
Jeff, I just want to apologize to your wife for what bothers
you. Not so loud.
What's all this? What do you leave me out into the vestibule for?
Now, Arthur, don't you dare apologize.
Why not?
It's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to me.
You're not mad?
Mad? I have never felt so important in all my life. From now on, we'll have something else to talk about besides her ancestors.
Oh, Jeff, you're not really related to Benedict Arnold?
Just leave well enough alone. Benedict, I feel already I've added cubits to my journey. It's all so terribly warlike and bloodthirsty. I never dreamed I might be related to him.
Well... In that case, this calls for a celebration.
Hey,
let's go somewhere and bend the old elbow, eh?
Oh,
how about it?
You mean drink?
I know a place where we can get some real, honest-to-goodness imported scotch.
No. I couldn't do that.
Oh, come on.
No. Drinking is illegal.
Oh, I know.
We might... get caught.
Yeah. You know, you do sound a little like Benedict Arnold.
I mean, I just couldn't stand having my name in the paper. They raid these places, Arthur. And the police go in, and they drag people off to jail.
No, not the place I'm thinking
of. If Edith ever saw my name in the paper...
Now, this place is absolutely safe.
Huh?
Yeah. Jenny's Well.
Where?
Jenny's Well.
Oh, that old spring where people used to go and get their water.
Yeah, it's a perfect blind. Only a few of us are in on it. None of us wanted to get picked up in these speakeasies, so we made an arrangement with a certain party to keep it stocked with some bottles of really good stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah. He hides it inside the well cover. Now, very few ever go there now. It's hardly ever used. No one would ever look in a place like Jenny's. Well, come on. How about it?
Well...
Now you're talking. Now you're talking.
I suppose it's safe.
That a boy. Jeff, the police would never think of looking there. Come on, get your hat.
That's where they're getting it. Who would ever have suspected Jenny's Well?
Chief, will I run out and nab him?
No. Let him go. Let him go. I want to make sure. We've got to have evidence. We'll get the next one.
But we saw him put a bottle in
his pocket. I want to make absolutely sure it's liquor. Take a look inside the well cover and see what's there.
Oh, boy. This is a real raid.
Yes. Our patience has finally been rewarded.
I can hardly wait.
We may get a promotion out of this, George.
A promotion?
After I send my report into Ottawa, I can see the headlines in the paper.
Yes.
Society boozers hauled into court. Rum ring broken at Jenny's Well.
Just like raiding one of those fancy nightclubs.
Yeah, we give no quarter in this game, boys.
No, sir.
The law is there to be enforced.
Yes.
Without fear or favor. Let the chips fall where they may.
Can I start now, Chief? Can I come out from behind this hawthorn bush?
All right, George. Let's go.
Oh, boy. My first raid.
Take it easy. Not so fast, Joe. Let me look in there.
I got here first, Chief. Now, let me look inside, please.
Oh.
Please, let me look inside
all
the
right,
well.
All right.
It's just got to be liquor. It's just got to be liquor.
See anything?
I'll have to get my head down inside. So I can see. Ooh, it's kind of dark in here.
Any liquor?
There's a shelf all around the top, just lined with bottles.
Yeah? What's in them?
Oh, boy, this is the real thing, Chief.
What's in them?
We hit the jackpot. Demerara rum. Scotch whiskey.
George?
Champagne.
What are you doing?
Burgundy.
George, what are you doing?
Irish whiskey.
Stop that, George. Stop drinking those bottles.
Poland gin.
Now stop it. George, come on. Yeah, here, come on. Come on up out of there. Come on.
George. I think I got them, Chief. I think I got them all.
You
for the
didn't
last bottle.
Break them all.
Yeah, my first
you
raid.
You dunderhead.
I broke every bottle.
You stupid bonehead.
I smashed them all, Chief.
You've destroyed the evidence.
Oh, what did I do wrong, Chief?
Where is the evidence?
It's down the well.
Oh, I could throw you in after it.
Well, Chief, won't we get any promotion?
No, we will not.
Oh, no promotion.
You've gone and
Oh, come on. Let's go back to the car.
Oh, gee, there's somebody else coming. Maybe we can arrest
them. It's too late now. You've ruined everything. Come on. No use hanging around here.
I'm sorry, Chief. I was just trying to get that promotion.
Arthur, be careful.
Oh, Jeff, listen. They can't arrest us for coming to Jenny's well.
No.
They can't arrest us for lifting the well cover and looking in.
No.
All right.
Arthur, if it's all right with you, I think I'll just have a little water, if you don't mind.
You want anything to drink, you sure?
No, just some water.
That's all you want. Hand me that bucket there.
If I can reach in and dip some out.
Here you are. Looks pretty clean.
What do I drink out of?
A tin can.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. Drinking out of that old tin can?
I know.
Of the sanitary.
Oh, Jeff, don't be such a fuss. Are you going to drink this, or aren't you?
Well, don't need to get sore about it.
Otherwise, I'll pour it back in.
Well, I don't suppose there's anything in it to hurt.
He's still alive.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Hey, there's nothing in here.
What do you mean?
The well's empty.
Oh, no bottles inside the well, has it?
Not even a flask.
I was looking forward to a good shot of scotch. Down it all.
That's too bad.
Oh, I'm so dry tonight. It almost hurts to wink.
Try some of this water.
Oh, I'm not that
real
dry.
Real good. It really is, Arthur. Real good. It must come from some kind of a mineral spring. Whew. That is good.
You'll have to smack your lips over it.
I didn't know this old public well was still in operation. I wonder more people don't come here. It tastes almost like champagne.
Oh, cut it out, Jeff. Will you cut it out?
Boy, you missed something, Arthur. Don't you want to try some?
Yeah.
Believe me, this is very good water. You've no idea.
Yeah.
Go on. Water. Go on. Try some. Here.
What a way to end up an evening. Tin can. Just when I had my heart set on. Hey, this is very good.
I tell you.
I'll try some more of that.
I don't know about this before.
I didn't realize it tasted so good. It's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Another tin can around somewhere?
Yeah, there's one over here. Has a little mud in the bottom.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's like sparkling vichy water.
Has more body to it, though.
Yeah, almost if it had a paint bouquet of scotch whiskey.
I'd say Demerara rum.
Just a hint of a bite to it, though, like brandy.
Oh, that's what I call a great water. A truly great water. Mm.
this thing that's been here all this time? Why don't folks come to Public Well more often?
Jeff. It's like my grandfather used to say.
Blah.
Blah. People used to say, people don't appreciate the simple, elemental things in life.
That's right.
Air, friends,
and water.
Good water. It's very true. Life gets too complicated at times.
Oh, I find that true.
Jeff. Hmm? Jeff. Hmm? Is that a policeman coming down the street there? Or is it...
The heck with the police? Who cares about the police? That's how I feel.
Whoopsie. Oh, did I upset you, Jim Carrey?
Oh, sorry. I'm spending more. Lots of water.
Don't worry, but I'm getting a little water.
Oh, dear. I wonder why this water's so good.
I don't know.
You think it might have something to do with those...
bottles of scotch you could find? What would it have to do with them?
I don't know. Why?
No. It's simply like I say. This is a... truly great water.
No, I agree. 100%.
100 proof. Did you ever see a well like this before?
I didn't know there was wells like this.
Yep, you know something. I'm getting fed up with Mahjong.
Me too.
All those crazy seasons.
Almost as bad as having listened to your wife talking about her ancestors. That's very true. Very true.
But, you know something? I think we're in a very nice people.
Irregardless. Honest, I do.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Do you agree?
100%.
Even when they're loyalists?
Wonder what?
Even when they're loyalists.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Jeff. You gotta give them credit. You gotta give those lawyers credit, Paul. They sure knew where to dig a public well.
They sure did. Here's Storm.
That was The Case of Jenny's Well, another episode in the series The Rum Runners, written by Norman Creighton. Inspector McMulloch and Jeff were played by Bill Fulton. Mildred and Barbara by Flora Montgomery. Arthur by Dan MacDonald. And George by Bruce Armstrong. The musical score was arranged and conducted by David Woods. The Rum Runners comedy series was directed for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation by Peter Duncan and produced by Alan Yates of the CBC International Service in Montreal.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice.
Best believe TurboTax will be your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
The International Service of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation presents The Rum Runners, a comedy series written by author Norman Creighton about the rum goings-on in Canada's maritime provinces during the bad or good old days of Prohibition, depending on how you look at it. The hero or arch-villain of the series, again, depending on your viewpoint, is Inspector John McMulloch of the Revenue Department, whose vital task is to stamp out drinking, and the smugglers who made a business and profit out of encouraging a wee dram at literally any cost. Here is the case of the 12 o'clock gun with Inspector McMulloch.
I'm John McMulloch. I'm here to tell you more about the swashbuckling days of rum running. I serve with the Department of National Revenue as an inspector on the Atlantic seaboard of Canada. The sinister figures of the underworld, the big city racketeers, were seen swaggering the streets of Halifax. A British town, this, for 150 years, both dockyard and garrison to the Imperial forces. That was not a salvo from a man of war. That was the 12 o'clock gun. It goes off at precisely 12 noon every day. A legacy from the Imperial occupation. This wonderful old gun stands proudly on top of Citadel Hill, an old Imperial fortress that rises 200 feet above the city. You can see the 12 o'clock gun standing up there on the ramparts. And every day at noontime, there's a little warlike puff of smoke and a boom that rattles the china teacups. And everyone in Halifax knows that things are going along quite peacefully. All right, that's quite enough now, or they'll imagine the city's under attack. And nothing could have been further from anyone's mind on this particular day I'm thinking of back in 1925. Certainly not at the garrison grounds, where a cricket match was in progress.
Well played, John. Well played.
Jolly Gordon, Jolly Gordon.
I say, your chaps are really putting up scraps today, Digby.
I think it's simply a marvelous idea, this cricket match. I'm so happy I came. Yes, sir. Now, would you have some more cucumber sandwiches? Oh, it all reminds me so much of old times.
Oh, yes, dear.
Before the Imperial forces withdrew from the city.
That was back in 1906, wasn't it?
Oh, now, General, you're divulging my age.
Oh, I say, Jimmy, you are. All right.
Oh, they'll know everything about us if you keep on reminiscing like this.
I can't help it, Penelope, really. We had such enchanting times back in those days.
Didn't we,
all the girls did, and who wouldn't, with officers on the warships ready to dance attendance? You know, General, I even had one or two bows myself.
Oh, I'm sure you did, Lucidale. I'm quite sure you did.
Oh, it was such a wonderful time to be young. You felt the world would never change. The red coats were up there, standing guard at the entrance to the citadel. And there were cricket matches here on the garrison grounds, and sham fights up on the north common.
Yes,
it felt so terribly safe.
Yes, we must put on one of those sham fights again. That is fun, you know. Yes.
Well, there's a 12 o'clock gun.
Yes, now, let me see. Where's my watch? Ah, yes. Oh, time as usual. Oh, General, you're such a comfort. As long as I know you're up there in the citadel guarding that 12 o'clock gun, I feel that we're all safe and sound.
Miss O'Dell, you're really too kind.
Ah, well, now, oh, General, will you excuse me? I see that Jeffries is waiting with the carriage. I must go now.
Oh, must you leave so early?
Millicent, having lunch, you know, at Admiralty House.
I know, dear, but I really must go. Jennifer again.
Oh, no.
I don't like leaving her alone.
Oh, General, I don't know if you've met Miss O'Dale's niece.
Oh, yes.
She's been with her since she was only a child. Yes. A lovely girl.
Oh, but Penelope, she's getting so frightfully sophisticated.
She's not carrying the wonderful flasks.
Something even more deplorable, Penelope. She's rolling her stockings.
Rolling her stockings. Oh, needless.
I think it looks damned attractive, young girl.
You do the most outrageous things.
Not only that, but she's taken the money her Uncle George gave her for her 19th birthday and bought herself one of these excruciating pianos. That play by themselves.
A pianola?
Yes, that's the name.
Oh, I see, they're rather fun.
But the music it plays.
Oh.
One piece, mind you, is called The Maple Leaf Rat.
Oh, dear sir.
Nothing is sacred anymore, it seems. Not even the maple leaf. Quite too horrible. But here, I must go. Please give my apologies to the dear Admiral. Where is he? Oh, he's trying out that overhand bowl of his. Well, now, I must go now. It's been so pleasant, so terribly civilized. Goodbye, General. Goodbye, my dear.
Goodbye,
my dear. Be careful now. Watch out for the ball. What a sweet, sweet old thing she is.
There were others that day who had heard the 12 o'clock gun, and some who almost didn't hear it because they were sleeping so soundly in the city's most select hotel, in a luxury suite on the top floor.
There. Who is it? Squally, it's them.
What's wrong, Legs? What's the matter?
It's them. Bar the door.
Now, take it easy.
It's the Five Points gang.
Calm down.
They're coming in the window.
Legs, it's all right.
Well, where's my gat?
Simmer down, for God's sake.
It's gypped the blood.
No, it ain't.
It's baby-faced Nelson.
Legs.
I'll shoot it out with him.
Let go of that rod.
I'll shoot it out with
him. Here, let go of that gun. Now, drop it. Drop that gun. Come on. That's it.
Who is it? Is it Lefty Louie?
No. It's nothing to worry about.
But Charlie, I heard them. They were shooting.
No, they weren't. That was only the 12 o'clock gun.
12 o'clock gun? Who's he with? Capone?
Huh? He's not with anybody. It's a gun they have out here in Halifax, up on Citadel Hill.
Oh.
I guess people the time, that's all. She goes off every day at noontime.
12 o'clock.
Oh, sounded like that 20-gauge sawed-off shotgun that chipped the blood.
Chip the blood don't hold anything as big as this shooting iron. She's a real old-timer. Big old cannon. Why, she could throw a shell out of the head of the harbor.
She could?
Sure.
What size shell she take, huh?
Well, cannon size, I reckon, whatever that is.
Big enough to sink a ship, right?
Well, I suppose it would.
You know something, Charlie?
Hmm?
We've just hit on the answer to this new revenue cutter.
How's this?
Well, this government boat that's been bothering you. Now, suppose she can clock up to 25 knots an hour.
Yeah?
Now, all you have to do is let her overtake you, pull up alongside of you, and... boom! That takes care of it.
Legs, I don't get you.
Oh, boy, you ain't clicking topside. No wonder you never made the big time. Well, you're all right on those little two-bit rum boats, but don't ever step ashore at New York. You wouldn't make it to Times Square.
Wait just a minute.
Here's a real snitzy idea, and you don't tumble to it.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but the 12 o'clock gun isn't for sale.
I don't buy things that aren't for sale.
Ah, there. That's what I mean.
I take them.
You take them?
Yeah.
But legs. They got guards up there on the Citadel. Armed guards.
That's so?
And a great big moat with a drawbridge.
So?
Hey, legs. You're not thinking of... You wouldn't undertake to go up to the Citadel and... No, you just couldn't do that.
Couldn't I?
Well, we could march right up there.
Couldn't we, Charlie?
Well, sure. If you say so, Lake.
I'm saying so, Charlie. Now hand me my gun.
This clock on time? Yes, that's keeping very good time this week. I must remember to wind it tonight. Now, what's next? Oh, yes, the mantel clock in the living room. Oh, and the hearth needs to be swept up. Becky, you needn't have done the hearth. You could have left that. I'd rather enjoy sweeping up the hearth. Oh, you're polishing the brass fender. Well... that's all right, but you needn't do the candlesticks and the other things.
Yes.
Now, please run out and ask the stable boy to sweep up the driveway.
Yes, Miss Dale.
It looks a little untidy out front, and tomorrow's my day to receive, isn't it? Yes. And, Becky, ask the cook to make some of her puff pastries. They always seem to go well.
Yes,
oh, dear, not again. Jennifer, is that you?
Uh-huh.
Must we listen to that awful music? It's time for my nap. Oh, please, turn it off.
Just a minute, Auntie. I want to hear this part. There's a real hot break right here. Oh. Gee, I wish I could play like that.
Now, that's enough. Turn it off, turn it off.
Okay.
Oh, what a relief.
Auntie, the trouble with you is you just don't understand modern music.
Can't that machine of yours play something pleasant like, well, In the Gloaming?
Oh, I've got a new one here. It's simply terrific. It goes like this. Oh, gee. Oh, gosh. Oh, golly. I'm in love.
Jennifer, do you have to cross your legs?
This one's a real...
Yep. Not having your stockings roll down, but when you cross your legs, it looks too common for words.
Aunt Millicent... gee, but you're old-fashioned.
Perhaps it's just as well as some of us are.
Auntie, you don't know what's going on in the world. You know that?
Well, why should I? I have enough to do without bothering my head about the world. Which reminds me, I'm receiving tomorrow and I expect you to help me pass the cakes. And I would appreciate it if you would wear your navy blue suit.
Well, I won't be here tomorrow afternoon.
I beg your pardon?
Aunt Millicent, I've been meaning to tell you this, but, well, I just couldn't seem to find the opportunity.
What are you talking about?
I'm working.
You're what?
I have a job.
Oh, well, I suppose it's time you did do something, dear. It's always nice to help out with the Daughters and Maids of England Benevolence
Society. No.
Well, the Association for Improving the Condition of the Poor. But tomorrow afternoon...
Oh, you don't understand, Auntie. This is a job.
You don't... You're working?
Yes.
But, my dear, whatever for? Oh,
because I want to.
Oh, this is simply being quixotic. Now, it's not necessary. Your father left you well provided for.
Well, I still think a person should do something, don't you?
If you were one of these country girls working out at the cotton factory or something like that, it would be quite understandable, yes.
Oh.
I wouldn't mind at all. In fact, I think it's a very good thing for them to be working where they don't have anything else to do.
What are we supposed to do? Sit around? What?
Of course not. I keep busy every day of my life. I put in a very full day. Now, this afternoon, I shall have my nap. This evening, I shall be winding up the grandfather's clock. And tomorrow, I'm receiving. That's quite busy enough for anyone.
Oh, Aunt Millicent, don't you ever feel that life has sort of passed you by?
Well, no.
But you've never done anything.
Indeed, I have.
Well, Auntie... Just what have you done?
I've done exactly what nature intended me to do. I've kept watch over the 12 o'clock gun and the old town clock. I see to it that they are strictly on time.
What for?
What for? Well, to make sure that no one is late getting to their office or to the candy factory and all those other places where people do things. Now, as long as the gun keeps going off at 12 o'clock and the town clock is on time, then they all get to their jobs.
Oh, yes, but, Auntie, that's just it. You're not doing any work yourself.
But it isn't my role in life to do any work, dear. My job is to make sure that everyone else gets to work on time. Now, let's have no more of this nonsense. Now, what is this job you're doing?
Oh, I'm playing the piano down at the 5 and 10 cent store.
Playing the piano?
I'm at the sheet music counter. Oh. I play the piano and sing the words so the people can hear them, and then they buy the music. And it's opened up a whole new life for me, a career. Yesterday, mind you. The most exciting thing happened. Oh, I just can't get over it. I just can't believe it really happened to me. But there he was, standing, looking at me, listening to me sing. And I recognized him from his pictures in the paper.
Not Governor General.
No. Legs Diamond, the famous gangster.
Good heavens.
Legs Diamond, and you know what he told me? He said he could get me a job in New York singing in a nightclub.
Child, what have you been doing?
Oh, I'm to meet him this afternoon in the public gardens. Beside the duck pond.
Oh,
I have to run upstairs and change my bloomers.
Again.
Oh, let's have some music. I'm going to put this piece on for you.
No, not the pianola.
There.
Jennifer, come back here. Stop this machine. I want to talk to you. Oh, how can you stop this wretched thing? Oh, dear. Someone at the door. Jennifer! What am I going to do? Oh, yes, I'm coming. Just contain yourself. Oh, I'm coming. Oh, dear.
Miss O'Dale.
Yes.
I wonder if I could speak to you for a moment.
Do you know how to operate a piano?
Well,
do
yes,
you?
Yes, I think so,
well,
yes.
Please step inside. Oh, I wish you would turn that dreadful machine off.
Oh, yes.
I don't understand how it works. There are all kinds of buttons and things, but it just keeps on playing.
Well, I think you press this button here.
Oh, thank you very much.
Not at all.
Oh, please sit down.
Thank you. this will only take a moment. Is your niece at home?
Yes, she just went upstairs. Shall I call her?
No, I don't wish to alarm her.
Oh, dear. Well, what is it now?
Your niece, Miss O'Dale, may be in some danger.
Yes, from this gangster person.
Oh, then she's told you about him.
Yes, and I don't know what to think of it all. It's so, so utterly without precedent, the whole thing.
I'm a government inspector,
yes.
Miss O'Dale. My name's McMullough, John McMullough.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. McMullough?
We've been keeping tabs on this fellow ever since he arrived in town.
Yes.
Now, Legg's diamond is not to be trifled with, Miss O'Dale. We have nothing on him, and we can't arrest the man without cause, but we did hear that your niece was planning to see him again this afternoon in the public gardens.
No, Mr. McMullough.
She isn't?
No.
Oh, well. In that case, I guess there's nothing to worry about. I'll go along.
No,
thank you.
No. Please stay, Mr. McMullough.
Oh?
Because I am going to the public gardens. And I want you to make sure that my niece does not leave this house.
You're going to the public gardens?
That is correct.
Well, might I ask why?
I am going to feed the swans. It's one of my little duties. Now, if you will excuse me, I'll leave you to amuse yourself with the pianola. Is it this button here?
I don't like this lace. Let's get back to the hotel.
You got the shakes, Charlie.
But what are we waiting around here for? A public gardens. It's lousy with cops. They're hiding behind every bush. Besides, he's not going to show up anymore.
Oh, give her time. They always show up for Legg's diamond.
Who's that? Who's that?
Oh, don't be so jumpy, huh?
Well, I can't help it. This crazy deal about the 12 o'clock guns got me all on edge.
Swally, how's my handkerchief look, eh? Is the monogram shown?
Hey, Lakes, let's get back to the hotel.
Does it need to be pulled out some more so it hangs down where you can see the gold embroidery?
Listen.
Them zircons on the corner, did they show up good and sparkly in the sunlight?
Your mind's not on your work. Who is this cookie anyway?
Hey, don't you get fresh now. She ain't no cookie. She's the real McCoy.
Perhaps she's one of these newfangled police women.
Not this one.
I don't like it. We're getting in too deep. Let's forget this business about the 12 o'clock gun.
No.
What? I'm just an ordinary, honest, hard-working rum runner. I didn't bargain on getting into this 12 o'clock gun racket. Now, let's call it off.
The plan is already in operation.
Hey, you haven't started. What are you doing?
At this very moment, my men are storming the slopes of Citadel Hill.
You don't mean it. But this isn't Chicago. You can't shoot your way into the Citadel. Those soldiers up there have rifles with bayonets on them.
Yeah. They'll be very useful for removing the corks.
What corks?
My agents are carrying with them their very special weapon. 2 cases of Demerara Overproof. 40 ounces. Now, by tonight, there won't be a man inside that fort who can stand, sit, or kneel. We'll back a truck in, and that's it. The gun is ours.
Oh,
hey,
Hey, do you think my lapels should have something in them, like a flower?
Eggs. Huh? What have you got us into?
Oh, a rose, perhaps, eh?
There's a policeman coming. Turn around, facing the duck pond.
What for?
It's a cop. Now, move over upwind so he won't catch that scent you're wearing.
I paid $20 for this perfume.
Yeah, that's what it smells like.
Saks Fifth Avenue.
Now, pipe down. Let him get by.
Sometimes I think my lapels aren't wide enough.
They're wide enough. That diamond stick-in...
Isn't she a dazzler, huh?
She's like the headlight in a midnight express. Wonder if someone hasn't started tagging us before this. Now let's get back to the hotel.
I like it here. Ducks, flowers, climbing roses.
Come on.
Hey, how about them roses over there, eh? How would one of them look? Should be big enough, huh?
They're just for people to look at.
American beauties.
Oh, real classic.
Here, you're not allowed to pick them.
Let's see now. Which color?
Legs. It's against the law to pick flowers here in the public garden.
Yellow?
They have signs up.
No, I think red is the loudest.
Watch it. There's a flat foot over there by the fountain. He's got his eye on you.
Now, where is a big one?
Huh? Legs. I'm gonna leave you. I don't want to be around when he nabs you. I'll be waiting over by the bandstand.
I'll pick one for her, too. Yes, sir. That's my baby.
Young man. No,
sir, I don't mean maybe.
Young man.
Yes, sir. Rinky-dink. What?
You are walking on the grass.
Yeah.
I said you are walking on the grass.
So?
Your vocabulary seems very limited. Perhaps you would do better talking to a constable. Shall I call one?
Just a minute. Now, who do you think you are?
I am Miss O'Dale.
You?
I presume that you are this legs person. My niece has such surprisingly bad taste at times.
Hey, where is she? Now, what's keeping her, huh?
How unspeakably garish. I have never seen such a revolting display of trumpery.
What? What are you saying?
I suppose what? They are real.
Hey, are you kidding? Hey, this rock here, my little finger, cost $10,000.
You should have invested a little more money, Mr. Diamond, and bought yourself a package of soap.
What?
Your diamonds are dirty, and there's nothing I despise more than a dirty diamond. Ooh! What a filthy tie pin.
This came from Tiffany's. Now, what's wrong with it,
it's
huh?
It's dirty. Here. Let me have it.
What are you doing? Hey,
it needs soap and water, but perhaps water will do.
No, don't throw it. No, don't. You threw it into the duck pond.
Yes.
My tie pin. My diamond tie pin.
What is it, Legs? What's the matter?
This old... She just took my tie pin, my $20,000 tie pin, and threw it into the duck pond.
Ed, where'd it go? Whereabouts?
Right down there.
Hey, look out for the ducks. They might gobble it down.
Scram, you. Beat it. Wait, ducks. Beat it.
How deep's the water? Can you see it?
It's right here. I see it. I think if I bend over...
This is very tempting. I must control myself.
Can you reach it?
I think so.
I shouldn't have brought along my parasol. It would be so easy to reach out.
You balance yourself on that little rock there.
Oh. Dear, it's so hard to resist.
Can you lean over some more?
I feel myself weakening.
If I reach out just a little bit
the
more...
The nearest push from my parasol.
I
don't think I can resist any longer.
Hey,
let go.
Hey, you're pushing me.
Look out.
Shouldn't have done it, but...
Police! The police! Let's get out of here.
Charlie, wait for me. Wait for me!
Miss O'Dale, are you all right?
I am perfectly all right, Mr. McMuller.
Oh, Auntie, you're safe.
Certainly, child.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And I have just done something I've wanted to do ever since I was a little girl in pigtails.
What's that, Auntie?
I have just
pushed someone into the duck pond.
Oh. So I see.
And it's a highly uncivilized thing to do, but very satisfying.
Best for the 12 o'clock gun. Yes, it's still up there on the Citadel. Banging away every day at noontime, keeping us all safe and on time.
That was The Case of the 12 O'Clock Gun, another episode in the series The Rum Runners, written by Norman Creighton. Inspector McMulloch was played by Bill Fulton. The Major General and Captain by Joseph Rutten, Miss O'Dale by Miriam Bell, and Legs by Bruce Armstrong. The musical score was arranged and conducted by David Woods. The Rum Runners comedy series was directed for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation by Peter Duncan and produced by Alan Yates of the CBC International Service in Montreal.
Volume 1 of The Rum Runner, Rum Runners. Premiere episodes of The Rum Runners. Rum Runners. Oof, jeez.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.